Time to get real. I want to see some crazy whiz-biz.
What's the magic made out of, ding-dong?
I want to see some of that whiz-biz. Eric, welcome to your podcast, WizBiz with Alex and Eric. I am Alex and you are...
Eric.
Let me just check the title. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, yes. Yes, this is a podcast about Adventure Time. We talk about cartoons. We are grown men with hair in unfortunate places.
And I'm a cool 27-year-old. I don't know about you.
And we talk about cartoons. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Then who won the Super Bowl?
The Cincinnati... Pirates.
See, every 27-year-old knows who won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
because Taylor Swift was there.
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs. I do know that. And literally, I only know that because Taylor Swift's boyfriend is on the team. Now, do I know his name? Oh, I do. Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Okay, so I know everything about football. And the one thing I knew about football was that there's a quarterback named Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Which happens to be the guy that was on the winning team.
You know what? Mahomes is also the name of my favorite Pokemon.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's like Machop, into Machomp, evolves into Mahomes.
I can't even tell if you're joking. Okay, I'm going to say yes. Well, the thing is, with Pokemon, I wouldn't be surprised that like it's a guy with a house on his back and he's Mahomes. Like that's
yeah, Mahomes.
That's, yeah, yeah. All right, so before we start this episode,
we've already started.
No, but before we start talking about the
Adventure Time, the cartoon.
During the fucking around part of this episode.
Oh, right.
I have reached out to our audience on twitter.com. I'm not calling it what it is.
Shitter.
At WizBiz Podcast.
Okay.
And I said, hey, is there any kind of topics you want us to cover? Any questions?
And?
And we got two.
Okay.
So this one I think is pertinent. And we've talked about it off the show, off the air. So,
all right.
From Plague of Bears.
Plague of Bears.
Were you expecting to find more occult stuff in these early seasons on this watch through? It seems like there hasn't been a whole bunch.
I personally was hoping to be surprised, but I know that a lot of the really good occult stuff didn't show up until later.
Yeah.
We are starting to get into more and more of it now, and I think it'll ramp up even more during. Some later seasons. So I guess I don't know what I was expecting, but I know what I was hoping. I was hoping to be surprised.
Yeah. I will say I was not surprised that there hasn't been a bunch, or I wasn't expecting there to be a bunch. What we did wrong, and to me, I'm not speaking for Eric, but I kind of am, is we should have skipped a lot more episodes in the first two seasons.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. That's the reason you're picking up on the fact that it's not a lot of occult stuff is we talked about a bunch of episodes we shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what we're doing. I mean, we still don't, but we knew even less what we're doing during those seasons.
You know, honestly, I think that one thing that might be kind of fun to do, although really, really difficult to kind of pull off, would be to have a podcast like this where instead of going through one show, we talk about occultism in pop culture. So that way we don't spend an entire podcast talking about Adventure Time. We would spend maybe like, a season talking about Adventure Time and compress all of Adventure Time into a season. Because there are some really good places to find occult references.
All right.
And we could have like whole episodes about things like the witch TV shows and which one of them is the most witchy.
Well, let's just say this right now.
Okay.
Audience at home, consider this me having it put in an envelope and mailed to myself. This is copyrighted pop culture.
I think that already exists.
Damn, it's a good title.
It is, but we could keep – I mean we're going to be done with Adventure Time before long and then we can move on to other ideas.
Yeah.
So
pop culture is such a good thing.
It is. In this episode – Oh, wait, are we done?
We got one more question.
Oh, yeah. What's our next question?
This is from Love is a Dog from Hell, who I on
okay,
Blue
hold on
Sky.
A second. I have a question about for Plague of Bears and mm-hmm. Love is a Dog from
are
Hell.
Are they the same person? Was that what you were going
to
ask?
No, my question is, would they be interested in some sort of like occult-themed bear baiting sort of thing? You know, because for bear baiting, you need...
You mean like Growler?
Growler.
People at home are fucking loving what I just said right there. Growler is grinder, but for bears.
Oh, yeah. No, I was actually referring to the old-fashioned and extremely barbaric sport of bear baiting, where you have bears versus dogs in a rink and people put money.
Where's the baiting?
I mean, I don't know all the details of it. It was a gross thing to do. You'd have one bear that was starving. You'd throw meat out into the ring, and the bear would go after the meat, and the dogs would go after the meat, and they'd fight over it.
I mean, yeah, terrible, but be kind of cool to watch.
Yes, and if we have a plague of bears and a dog from where?
Love is a dog from hell. I think it's descriptive of
love. A dog from hell named Love.
Yeah.
I feel like we could do a dog baiting sort of thing. Since a hellhound is going to be way stronger than a bear, you could have a plague of bears going after one dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love is a dog from hell. I feel like it's like a floofy Kerberos.
No, I don't think that would be it. I think Love, because Kerberos is basically Spot. His name basically translates as Spot.
Yeah, we all know that, Eric.
So Love could be a really, really big, mean, hairy, 10-headed dog. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. So that guy asks us, if you wanted to convince someone to watch or at least try Adventure Time, what would be your pitch and what would be the first episode to watch?
Shit.
that's
a good question.
My pitch, Eric tries to think of this. My pitch is, hey, it's a kid's cartoon. If you start at like season 4, there's a lot of cool, like occulty, weird references in it. And it's also really fun. Good voice cast. It's written by smart people. The episode to get them involved in it, I would say we haven't gotten there yet. I would say it's probably a season 5 episode. We're still in the baby steps of this show having a continuous storyline, and I think maybe there's something this season, but I think probably season 4 or 5. I think the first seasons are really good upon later reflection, so when you know what the show is going to turn into, you can watch those early seasons. But
yeah,
if you as an adult trying to start from season 1, I don't know, I don't think you get into the show.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking, you know, even King Worm is a weird enough episode that it might get people hooked on it. I think it kind of depends on who you're selling it to.
Yeah, for weirdness, yes, but there's two, you need to know who the characters are and their relationship to one another to understand the episode.
That's true.
Yeah, but you're right, for weirdness-wise, this would be a good selling point. Maybe something with like a wizard thing or like Ice King. Maybe
Wizard battle might be a good one.
Yeah, or like just something with Ice King, PB, and Finn and Jake, but like after we've discovered the Simon aspect of Ice King.
Did we ever do the episode with Finn on the Endless Adventure Train? Has that happened yet?
I don't think that's happened. We've talked about it enough in our outside life that I don't know if that was on air anymore.
God, I've been avoiding looking for it just in case. I need to find out. I need to find out if it's happened yet, because I love that episode.
I feel like we haven't gotten really there yet.
That might be a really good intro episode. You know, I think that Adventure Time appeals to people who were D&D fans also, and there's a lot of really clever – there's more clever D&D references in the early seasons than there are occult references, that's for sure. So that might be one way to hook people, too.
Yeah, so there's your answer. Thank you very much for asking. Please visit us.
Please make sure you get back to us about the reverse bear baiting.
Okay. At the end of that sentence was going to read, you can find us on Blue Sky at WizBiz Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at WizBiz Podcast. And we're going to try to start doing TikToks again. And wild guess.
It's all WizBiz Podcast. WizBiz Podcast. Yeah. And we're on YouTube, WizBiz Podcast.
The YouTube is just the episodes.
When we stream Twitch on our.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're also on Twitch, WizBiz Podcast. Yeah. Although we don't use that super often, but when we do stream things there, they
yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that. But the John Alex Hate Stuff YouTube is just the episodes. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it gets like some of the episodes get like real listens, which is weird.
I've noticed that when I do that with Arnomancy. Yeah. In this episode, can
which
I say
episode's that?
This current podcast episode that we are recording. Okay. Are we going to – can I start the non-bullshitting around part of the episode yet?
Are we done with bullshit?
I mean, I've got more bullshit, but I'll share it later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's just promise the audience that we will, in fact, fill their ears with more bullshit later.
In this episode, we're going to be covering Season 4, Episode 17, Bimo Noir, and Season 4, Episode 18, King Worm.
Well, I don't like spoiling stuff, so I mean, I guess we could do it that way.
I'm just trying to make it easy for people.
I don't think anything about this is easy.
It's possible that we should probably announce those things before we get into the bullshit.
No, it's in the title.
It's not.
No, we never put the write-up and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay, fine.
Like, it's right there. And also, if they're listening to this, no one's going to go, hey, you know what I want to do is find that one episode that they're talking about.
They might be. I mean, maybe they are going to be doing that. Maybe they find our commentary so important that they scan through looking for specific episodes.
Well, then they can still find it because the title's there. Because saying the episode number, useless, as we discussed.
Okay. Anyhow, HBO Max is finally caught up, and the episode numbers match season 4.
That's good.
So in this episode, BMO Noir, here's my first uncomfortable question for you.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, it shows a scene with BMO playing a video game on himself.
Yeah.
Is that like...
onanism?
Yeah. Is that masturbation?
BMO is a little boy, and I don't think you should be bringing this up.
But BMO is a robot, and he's older than we think.
Yeah, I still – you're like back when that show Small Wonder was on. You were one of those creeps that was like, yeah.
I was too young.
Sure. You're older than me.
Yeah, and she was creepy.
Yeah, it is. I think we watched Bebo cranking off to give you an answer.
I love that the video game that he's playing is like a wrestling video game where they're throwing a horse at each other.
I love the Bebo video games. I found a place online, and it looks sketchy as fuck, so I didn't do it, that you can get the Bebo video games.
Really?
Yeah, but it just looked pretty like somebody in Russia is about to start talking to you if you download it. Like it didn't strike me as very safe.
Alex, you run Windows, which means that you must love viruses.
I mean, not really. I've literally never had a virus in my entire time owning computers.
I doubt that.
I'm not dumb. Malware, sure. But like actual viruses, you have to be a fucking moron to install one of those.
I mean, malware is a type of virus.
No, but malware is more like they're selling your info. Virus is like, you know, destructive.
Oh, not all of them. There are lots of viruses that are non-destructive.
Yeah. Well, either way, one has never shown up.
Good.
I've run things. I mean, some guy sending me an email saying run this exe. I'm not going to do it.
Open this PDF.
Yeah. Yeah. PDF thing is fucking sneaky. That's new shit. At work, I'm sure we're going to do it because we use all PDFs at work and like there's no testing. They just send them out to the whole company. And it's like, all right. I mean, whatever. It ain't my job, man. All right. So BMO Noir. Let's tell you about my noir background.
Okay.
When I was in school, my kind of almost minor was film studies.
And then Alex started telling me about it in school.
Yeah, it was film studies. And I really liked this one teacher who I've forgotten her name, unfortunately. We got along well and she liked the way I wrote. So like I always got A's in her class. So she was both an English teacher and then she did film studies through reading film noir, uh-huh, or reading the books, you know, Dashiell Hammett and stuff. Oh, so you,
okay, that's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I took a lot of noir classes because I liked her and it like – some of them counted towards my major, and then I sort of had like a almost film minor. I didn't fill out any paperwork because why the hell would I care?
I never took any classes, but I have read like every Dashiell Hammett book and every Raymond Chandler book.
Oh yeah, so you're actually more well versed than I am. I read a few for the class. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I watched movies and I tried to figure out what film noir was, and I never really had a class that sort of analyzed it.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, I think most people are kind of familiar with the style. Like film noir movies they started in the 30s and they were primarily – or did they start in the 40s? Probably late 30s, early 40s. They were primarily detective stories, although not always. And they were gritty and kind of realistic and they were – like the main style was there was always like a voiceover. The main character was like narrating the story as it went along.
Yeah, which is super great. I was hoping – so there's a – very famous film noir, which I think is Sunset Boulevard.
Is Sunset Boulevard, does that count as film noir?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's narration, but it starts off with the detective floating dead in a pool. But then
then
the whole movie. But it's still like even though he's dead in a pool, it's him telling the story of how he got there, which is super fun.
Oh man, that's actually yeah, one of the best movies ever.
But
seen.
not that I want Bebo to die, but like I kind of somewhere in the back, it's like the end of it. It's him floating in the pond with his batteries out or something. Yeah.
Probably the easiest and most classic film noir movie is the
Maltese Falcon.
Maltese Falcon, yeah, yeah. The one starring Humphrey Bogart. That's a great, great movie.
Is there a different one?
Yeah, I mean, there are like three or four.
Oh, no shit. I've only seen the Bogart one.
Yeah, that's the only one to watch.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about the rest. This episode, BMO Noir, like, I don't know if BMO has ever seen a film noir film. We know from some episodes that every once in a while they'll get like VHS tapes and watch them or things like that. And he can put him in.
Ooh, butt stuff.
Just remembering butt stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He can, ooh, butt stuff.
Canonically put VHSs in his butt.
So it's very possible that he has shoved film noir up his ass at this point.
But I mean, who hasn't? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't? I just love that part of it. Like, they go into it, they've got, like, the slow jazz going on.
Yes.
They've got, you know, BMO playing, like, the down-on-his-luck detective. There's a love interest. There's, you know, crooks that he has to...
Yeah.
You know, he's at odds with the police, and the police are adorable cats.
Of the things to talk about in this episode, we really need to break down some of the characters. So, like, just real quick, there's Ronnie the rat, mm-hmm. there's Lorraine the chicken, there's Officer whatever, the cat, and then he's got another cat officer backing him up.
Uh-huh.
Where the fuck did those cats come from?
Well, and that's something that I'm curious about, too, because Jake hates cats.
Right? Like, I feel like that's... Because, and they're like weirdly drawn. They almost look like Studio Ghibli cats. Instead of like,
did they just wander in?
Yeah. Well, so, but it leads to the larger question is, how much of this is happening?
Well, so here's another thing that is weird about it. Like, one of the things that gets established over and over and over in the Adventure Time world is that most of the animals are sentient and can talk.
Yes.
Like, a ridiculous number of them. There's a scene where there's like five or six cats. None of them talk to him.
Yeah. Well, the rat. Yeah. No one talks to them. Yeah. It's just BMO doing the a fake voiceover, voicing the animals, which, by the way, terrific job from Nancy
Yang.
Nikki Yang. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was incredible. Yeah. Like, she ran this episode.
So good. Like, the way she nails the it's BMO trying to do a different voice, which is tough because I'm sure BMO's voice is kind of close to her natural voice.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you're doing the BMO voice trying to do another voice. That's really hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was the voice acting was incredible in this episode.
Like, audience at home, I want you to try doing Count Dracula doing Christopher Walken. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be difficult.
That reminds me. I recently watched a cartoon where William Shatner voiced a character and it didn't sound like his normal sort of weird halting talk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, shit. He played, he voiced Hordak in the newest He-Man cartoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And the Kevin Smith one or the one after that?
The Kevin Smith one. The brand new one. The newest one. Revolution. I don't know how. It's probably the last couple of months.
So Kevin Smith is the new one. Because there's been two new He-Man in the last, like, 3 years.
Kevin Smith did. Well, you know, he's doing a series.
Yeah, but the one series ended. Maybe that was the one before the Kevin Smith one.
Maybe. I think the one before Kevin Smith was like 10 years ago.
No, this was like really recent. Who cares?
Please anyhow, continue. So William Shatner did Hordak.
And, oh, that's cool.
And I saw his name in the credits, and I had to look it up later to figure out who it was. I couldn't recognize his voice. He didn't have his weird halting style of talking. So I would like to give a shout out to William Shatner for overcoming that difficulty.
Real quick shout out too on that. This is directly related. My internet girlfriend, Popcorn in Bed, it's this very sweet lady that's from Canada and lives in Utah and doesn't use any harsh language. And she grew up never watching good movies. She only watched like chick flicks.
Oh, no.
So she's been going through watching dork shit for the past few years.
Is she like, watching along with the Jaws?
No. She's like a popular YouTuber. I'm just
so she doesn't know she's your internet girlfriend.
Oh yeah, you know, this is totally parasocial.
Okay.
She's delightful and it's just really fun to watch. It puts you in the frame of mind to really re-enjoy movies. You're like when she did Star Wars, it was just like, oh my god, I get to kind of watch it for the first time again. Uh-huh. But she's doing Star Trek movies right now.
Oh,
and it's
boy.
Really funny her watching. So she did like her audience picked out a collection of TOS episodes, the original series,
okay.
Shatner or whatever, and her real like because she knows Shatner as from Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what she knows Shatner from. She's like, I can't. Is that Shatner? Because his face is so different in the TOS, and it's adorable to watch her. Anyway, shout out to somebody that's doing a lot better than me on social media. Popcorn in Bed.
Well, I mean, I shouted out to William Shatner, who's doing much better than me.
Except if you're counting for lifespan, you're doing a lot better than him because that motherfucker is going to be dead real soon and you probably got a solid 8 more years left.
Thanks.
I said probably. I'll give you upwards of 15.
There's a lot of weirdness in this episode, including the question of like, did this actually happen?
Yeah.
I think there are things that indicate that it's all in BMO's head.
You're right, but there's things to indicate that it isn't.
Right.
Or at least he set it up. So
yeah.
My main source of evidence is Ronnie the Rat has lipstick on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorraine the Chicken is wearing lipstick.
But BMO put the lipstick there.
I know.
Which we discover later.
But does that mean that this didn't happen? What I mean to say is it all in his head, or is it in his head and then he walked around and set the props up? Is this an untrustable narrator?
Uh-huh.
Or is this the guy from Saw? You know, like he's setting up the stuff that is.
Yeah.
Like, so physically, there actually was at some point lipstick on that chicken.
Yeah.
Or
and we saw the lipstick on the chicken.
No, but we saw the story told from BMO's perspective. So anything we saw, we also saw it in black and white. It wasn't black and white. Unless you're a dog. I don't think you're a dog.
Woof.
Now I'm questioning it. Yeah, so the question is whether or not lipstick is there at all. Because then why would you put lipstick on the rat's back?
Okay, I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think there's an answer either way.
Well, so there's also the scene, you know, I mean, we see a lot of stuff from BMO's point of view.
Yeah.
But there's the scene where BMO is leaving Lorraine's chicken hut. And
I think it's called the coop, Eric.
The coop. When BMO is leaving Lorraine's coop.
No, it's, and, Eric, that's co-op, you idiot. You can't just read words out loud. You have
and
sorry,
look,
I'm going to let you talk.
And then the camera pans around and there's Ronnie up in the rafters
yes.
watching, right? So there is sort of an indication that like maybe Ronnie is kind of a shit bag. And then what about Nepter?
I mean, I don't recognize his existence. Well, I mean, he's just sitting there, so he doesn't really play into
but
anything.
But he totally talks about he saw Ronnie. With
well,
the
no,
sock?
No. Oh, Rat being named Ronnie. Oh, yeah, he says he had the sock.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Sorry, so at least some of this has to be... Yeah. It's interesting. Maybe this episode's really poorly written and actually doesn't hold up to scrutiny.
Well, except that that Nepter is also like, BMO, we should play together more often. So Nepter might think it's a game and BMO is like, I'm going to come down here and this is going to be your part.
I think you missed my point. I said it's really poorly written because Nepter is in it. That wasn't my point. I just thought it'd be funny to say that. Who was Bebe?
Bebe was the remote control.
The remote control. I have Bebe written down here. I'm like, I don't remember who that was. Yeah, that was a great scene where Bebo is roughing up the remote control to get it to talk.
When we get to the end of this, we don't really know if it was all in Bebo's head. I think it's pretty likely that a big chunk of it was.
Yeah, I believe so.
He still found the sock. In the end.
Yeah, but it also could have been that BMO just stole Finn's sock to invent a story.
Okay, that's – I agree.
It could have been just
totally
BMO
agree.
Went like,
yeah,
hey, I'll just say here's what I'm going to do today. Well, no, it was a Finn's sock.
So that dream sequence, though, is really strange. Like BMO falls down the ladder.
Yeah.
Smacks his head.
Yeah, then there's like a weird David Lynchian dream sequence.
Very weird David Lynchian dream sequence.
Well, so here's my fan theory. Spoiler alert for audience that we're going to give away something that happens a little bit later.
Okay.
I believe that may be the birth of football.
Didn't football already happen?
No, shit. Then my theory went to shit. It did. I don't think football happened
yet. We already
did
football. Football already showed up.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have my previous
notebook. Wait, I'm going to
look
it up.
Okay, we're going to look it up on the internet. Quick, to the internet.
Okay, so first appearance is five short Grables.
Yeah, that we already did.
No, we didn't. I don't think we didn't talk about that episode.
We did it as a skip episode so that you wouldn't go insane.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't talk about it. It happened already.
We mentioned it.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
It was just very brief.
Yeah.
I understand. You have a mental block against Grables, and so your psyche erases those things as soon
no,
as we discuss them.
No, I'm someone that sticks with what we agreed on, that we skip episodes.
Skip
you're
was
the one,
never the word,
you're
the right
one,
word to use.
You're the one. No, because I wanted us to skip them, and you started talking about them. So
We have always talked about them. We just talk about them very briefly, and we say, is there anything to mention in this episode? And if there is, we mention it.
Yeah, you started that, though. That was on you. This is all going to get cut out.
Okay, fine.
That was on you.
How do you know it's going to get cut out?
I don't know.
Keeping this in.
I'm keeping this in. I don't care. I'm going to come out looking
like
roses.
We can't just talk about the episode and talk about everything being cut out. I mean, that'll be cut out.
So sorry. This will probably get cut out. But there's nothing I find funnier than doing a John Alex hates stuff. Not often enough to ruin the joke. But if I'm doing something stupid and I say I'm going to edit this episode, I'm totally cutting that part out. most of the time I leave it in because I think it's really funny because I'm the butt of the joke. And I think it's really funny that I'm editing the episode and I leave it me looking like an idiot. I think it's amusing. All right. So another great aspect of this episode, and it's just a one-off joke, I just want to point it out, is BMO, after torturing Bebe, washes his hands to try to, like, you know, center himself. And he splashes water in his face and smoke starts coming out of his speaker holes.
Yeah, I love that. That's sort of an ongoing recurring gag. Like, every time BMO gets wet, like, something sparks and smokes and stuff. It's surprising that he continues to work.
I mean, the people from the Mo Corporation, they made him good.
They did. Well, they made BMO good. The rest of them were, whew.
Yeah, I meant make them well, but I thought it'd be like a fun casual way to say make them good. And I regretted it as I was saying it because I'd rather say well.
That's cool.
It's not. I'm a nerd.
Language changes over time.
Yeah, weirdly enough, that's the shiny rock I'm bringing to you today is that exact point.
Hold on. Before shiny rocks.
No, we're not there. I was just pointing out that, like, that, okay. I was previewing the next segment.
This does feel like a very chaotic discussion. Has it been too long since we talked about Adventure Time, or have we just descended into chaos? Or do we?
I don't have a reason for it, but this has been somewhat chaotic.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, every once in a while, you just got to do the chaos.
I mean, again, they don't need to hear it. We just got the, like, literally, there's a 5-minute chunk right there. Just never, no one could ever hear.
Okay, so there's that weird dream sequence. I have a note here because I didn't remember the episode very well, but I have a note early on saying, who put lipstick on the chicken?
Oh, yeah.
And I was sort of thinking, like, was it Jake? Because Jake has lipstick at the beginning. Like, we didn't even talk about that weird thing that Jake is doing.
Yeah, Jake is putting mascara on and then rubbing lipstick all over
his
face.
He's putting a lipstick spiral on his face.
Yeah.
We do get to see a cat butthole.
I do. Yeah, I have a point that some poor animator had to animate a cat butthole for like multiple frames.
Oh, they probably loved it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because in the next episode, we see a lot of buttholes.
I think you're right.
I am right.
But I was just going to make a cloaca joke and I stopped. That's why. But that was me going to be a dumb cloaca joke. I'm like, I've already run that into the ground.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we'll have to talk about that next episode. I don't know if we've really solved that question.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
So I read online, I was doing some reading online about this episode, as I usually do, and it turns out that it takes place during another episode. Finn and Jake leave to go on an adventure, and then they come back at the end.
Oh, no shit.
With a sea lard, and Jake, his makeup is messed up, and he has an arrow in his head.
Yeah.
So the other adventure is season 5, episode 18, Princess Potluck.
No shit. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So this episode takes place way out of time. Like it's really a whole season later.
Bet you those bastards at HBO Max planned that ahead of time.
And I also on the Adventure Time wiki, somebody mentioned that this episode references a movie called The Machinist. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, with Christian Bale.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't pick up that reference. Okay. I mean, not to say it's not there. I saw the movie when it came out. Like, you know, it's quite a few years ago at this point. Yeah.
He was way skinnier then.
That's pretty much what I remember is like, is it all in his head? And he's super thin. That's my memory of the movie.
Yeah. So anyhow, overall, I love this episode. I think it's put together really well. I love the film noir elements in it. Yeah. I think they did a really good job sort of using like the stark contrast of black and white. Like, this is the first episode that's all in black and white. Maybe the only one. I don't know. But
I would hope so.
But I love how they used how they use light and shadow.
Yeah.
I loved how they used sort of like building tension, and they used sort of like a same kind of plot. They used a lot of plot hooks that a film noir movie would use. So overall, I just really, really love this one. And the reason that I didn't make it a skip episode primarily is because it's the first episode where BMO is the main character.
Yeah, no, this should never have been a skip episode. Although there's no occult stuff in there, it's not a skip episode because it's all BMO and we love BMO.
Yes.
You know what BMO is? BMO's hot, like pizza supper.
I feel like I got hit with a Dracula by King Kong.
I want to tell everybody about my verbal prejudice I have.
Okay.
Is that if you say supper instead of, you know, dinner or whatever, I kind of think you're like slightly dumb. No, I don't actually think that. I just have like in my brain, there's some, I don't know, maybe I, like when I was little, something happened, but I've got this like an indexing error that if I hear someone say we're having supper, it's like, ugh.
Ooh, really? That's being racist against the South.
I don't know if it's racist.
Or prejudiced against the South. I think that's a Southern thing. I think in some Southern parts of the country, dinner was lunch and supper was the evening.
Hmm. I mean, it might be. I do hate the South.
Well, it's way down there.
Well, here's my problem is I hate zombies, and the fact that it's going to rise again makes me really fucking suspicious.
Ooh. Also, Walking Dead was filmed in Georgia, which is in the South.
Oh, it's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
Yeah, that's our chicken is named Lorraine. Great, great joke line. Yeah. All right, so let's do a segment.
Okay, I do have a shiny rock or two, but I know that you probably have better ones. So
I don't know about better. No, I just have honestly. I'm basically giving a YouTube link as my shiny rock, so please go ahead.
Okay. I have one really good shiny rock that may never be useful, but it will answer some questions about your grandmother's house.
Oh, those are the best ones. Okay.
Do you know what an anti-macassar is?
Spell macassar.
M-A-C-A-S-S-A-R.
S-S-A-R.
I'm enjoying the baffled look on your face. You're going to.
I don't even. So I.
You're going to find this word so useless.
I'd like to have a guess. So I'm going to say it's some kind of flourish or like skirting, you know, like that kind of lace that goes around random shit.
Oh, man. That's close. That's very, very close.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Okay. So you know how on like old chairs and stuff. Oh, you know what? Airplanes have these. Airplane seats have these. Those weird like Velcroed pieces of cloth that sort of sit behind your head.
Yeah.
You know, old chairs a lot of times have them. They're a little fancier.
Mm-hmm.
That is an anti-macassar because macassar is an old word for like hair oil. So an anti-macassar is a piece of cloth used to protect furniture from hair oil.
Wow.
I think also those covers on the ends of on the arms of sofas and stuff. I think those are also anti-macassars.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty close. For no,
you were very, very
that
close.
Was really a shot. Though there's a really great – there's in – Coming to America, there's a great anti-macassar scene where everybody's using like Soul Glow hair product.
Yeah.
So their hair is just dripping in oil and they get up off the couch and there's just like a monstrous oil stain like where their head would have rested. Great movie. I mean, it's probably horrible by today's standards, but from when I watched it in 1988 till I thought about it right now, I have warm memories of how funny that movie is.
So anyhow, that was my shiniest rock.
That's a good rock.
I don't remember exactly where I came across that word, but it's been on my list for a little while, and I thought this would be a really good place to pull it out.
It's a great rock. We like it a lot.
Oh, speaking of pulling it out, I do have a second shiny rock.
Sure.
A prepuce. I know you know what this is.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we've already discussed.
Would you like to explain it to the audience?
I would. The prepuce is foreskin.
Yes.
Different word for it. And I was telling Eric before the show, I think I actually maybe did a review of it on the old Alex cast, but there's a book discussing holy relics, and one of the holy relics is the holy foreskin of Christ, his prepuce. And there's multiple different people that confirmed, or multiple different churches that have the confirmed foreskin of Christ. Because, you know, Jesus was a nice Jewish boy. He would have had the oil come down and mutilate him as per Jewish tradition.
Yeah, and since he was semi-divine – or, you know, I guess since we're not Arianists here, fully divine, his prepuce would have probably regenerated because of, you know.
Yeah, that's like the whole theory that like Wolverine must have an anteater because it would just like regenerate.
Oh, yeah. I recently got to explain the existence of the holy prepuce or, you know, the whole legend about it to some evangelical Christians.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they were shocked and they were astounded. And I am always just so amused by Christians who love their religion and have no concept of it at the same time.
Yeah, a lot of American Christians are exactly that. You know, it's weird. You would think that like Jesus with abs like that, you'd think a lot more people be thinking about that dick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of history, actually, of some really weirdly sexual Christian mysticism and Christian imagery.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that out there already. So people have been thinking about Jesus in that way for a long time.
I actually just watched
the most disturbing, which I would love to tell you about,
please.
Was a series of mystical visions where the wound in Jesus' side caused by the spear on the cross when he was hanging on the cross was viewed as a vagina.
Oh, that's you know, I used to back during my I was like a hardcore, like I want to make people think poet stage, you know, I wrote a poem which referenced getting a hand job through with Christ from Christ with but you put your dick through the stigmata hole.
Those were either very large nails or
well, I mean, it's got to hold up Jesus. You assume they're like railroad spikes.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I mean, he's probably a svelte guy and probably short.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have some well, I basically have a concept, a word concept.
Okay, okay.
Which I'm going to shout out to Rob Words on YouTube, who I found recently, and he's delightful. I think I've actually already referenced him once. So I'm basically stealing his segment, and I'm not going to do it full justice. We're going to put the link in the show notes because
it's make a note of that.
It's my I'll email you. So basically, he's talking about he calls them skunked words, but the dictionary, the actual proper term is bleached words. And the video I'm talking about is words we've ruined by misusing. The one that people like to cite is literally.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't – that doesn't bother me because that's just like
– I literally never use that word.
Yeah, but it's an exemplifier. Yeah. You're using it wrong on purpose to point out how much – you know, like, oh, I literally died. It means like, oh, my God, it's the worst of the worst. I'm fine with that. But he brings up the one that – bothers me to no end. The point of skunked words and bleached words is that you're no longer allowed to use them only because it's no longer accurate writing, because you don't know if people are reading it in the –
people won't be able to tell what you mean.
Do you mean literally or do you mean literally?
Yeah.
Which that one I think you can fit in it. But the one that got totally ruined for me, and I found out about this in middle school, high school, is peruse. So let's say I hand you a magazine. What would you do if you were going to peruse that magazine?
Read it super casually, probably scan it.
The exact opposite. Peruse means to like delve deep, like study the fuck out of something.
That is a ruined word.
It's ruined.
That word is skunked.
Yeah, yeah. So peruse. The other one is that's starting to do is nonplussed, which I'm sure you hear people use nonplussed wrong all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, actually, I don't remember the right. I don't remember the correct.
Yeah, I want to get the definition
of it. I mean, I think people use it frequently as being unimpressed, but nonplussed is actually – it sort of means nothing could be greater than.
It's surprised and confused. I don't really know how to react. Like
– that's how people use it, right?
No, that's what the actual definition is.
Oh, and people use it as like, whatever.
Like nonplussed. I'm not affected. That's the way they use it.
I haven't been plussed by this
exactly.
One.
Yeah. Like plussed means you've been put upon. No, I'm nonplussed. But nonplussed actually is like the opposite. It's like – I'm humming, humming, humming. I don't know how to deal with this.
So it's sort of like bafflement.
Yeah, yeah. Those Christians that you told about Christ's foreskin.
Right. They were nonplussed by the prepuce.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of
them. I mean, that is just basically a hilarious sentence. He was nonplussed by the prepuce.
Oh, fuck yeah. the one I didn't know, and you being a language guy, you're going to find this amusing or be annoyed at yourself. I've been using ambivalent wrong my entire life. What do you think ambivalent means? I mean, it's a word you know.
Ambivalent would mean – oh, yeah, you're right. You know what? I remember reading about this one too. I mean, it usually means that you couldn't care less. You don't give a shit either way.
Yeah, which is the exact opposite. Ambivalent means – and this is the thing that blew my mind. So it's having mixed feelings or contradictory ideas, usually strong ideas on both sides. But if you think about the breakdown of it, it's ambivalent, like valent. So it's all valent, you know?
Right, right. Ambi means around.
Yeah, yeah. So it's both sides of something being held. So yeah, mixed feelings, not I don't care. It's actually you kind of care too much and care on both
another
sides.
Another skunked word.
Yeah. And that one I really like only because I was completely I didn't know that I've used it before a lot and you know, I'm gonna continue to use it.
It's interesting because in the past we've used or we've talked about words that also mean the opposite of themselves.
Yeah,
and those are different than this.
Yeah, because usually those come at us from two different traditions that kind of recombine.
Right, or they'll have a preposition that changes them.
Yeah this is more just people fucking it up. And I think a lot of those started with people fucking it up.
Yeah.
But like, and it just became proper to use it both ways. But it's just interesting that the discussion is, can we use this word, especially in writing? And like, nonplussed, I certainly wouldn't use because they're not going to know what I mean.
Right.
Ambivalent, I would because I feel like the original definition is dead.
It's gone.
Now.
Yeah. I feel like the original definition is completely gone.
But there's a bunch. Anyway. So, the Rob Words thing, we're going to put the show notes, I'm so impressed with this man. He was the one that I found out about Tonopoku, that invented language I talked about last episode.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
I don't sign up for newsletters. I think they're stupid. I'm subscribed to two. the Artomancy newsletter, and aww, and I just signed up to Rob Words.
Wow.
Because I don't like them. I don't read it. I want you, your list to look bigger, and that's well, why, thanks. You know, yeah.
Season 4, episode 18. Wah, 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 King Worm.
Wasn't there a King Worm? That was going to have such a dumb aside.
Different than a king cake. You do not want a King Worm in your king cake. Unless we could talk about that because it's sort of that time of year.
Unless it's a gummy worm.
True. That would probably be good.
Yeah. They, at the Plaid Pantry, the local convenience store, every now and again, they'll get a 2-pound gummy worm in. It'll be on an aisle. And like, I don't want that.
You do.
But I kind of do. Like, I don't want to eat 2 pounds of gummy.
Well, what are you going to do with 2 pounds of gummy worm?
I don't know. I don't want to eat a fourth of a pound. That's why I'm bringing it up. It's weird that I have the urge to buy it. Where it's just like, I think it's just kind of cool that there's two pounds of gummy available.
How long is a 2-pound gummy worm?
Like 2.5 mies.
So could you put it like all the way around the room? Like, what if you got a couple of them?
No, they're like,
and you human centipeded them around the room.
They're probably.
How big are they?
Like a meter. And they're probably about a 40 centimeter.
Okay, so you don't know.
I know
how big a meter is.
Yeah, 3 feet 30 inches.
You just said it was 2 U's.
I was talking about my dick. I was making a dumb dick joke. I said, and I don't mean my height.
God. Okay, got it.
You just weren't paying attention to my horrible joke.
Well, I pay attention to you sometimes.
Yeah, look, there was no blame in my voice when I said you were paying attention to me.
Wait, what?
Wisdom. Wisdom is understanding. I'm saying bullshit. Yeah, it's probably like like inch circumference, and then maybe like 3 feet longish.
Okay, yeah. I mean you can use metric with me. I studied science in the schools. I dropped out, but I studied for a little while.
Yeah, but I already did metric, and I was trying to subtly give those
measurements. Oh, for our listeners,
we're talking to other people.
Right, yeah. right.
I'm good sorry, at this, listeners. Eric. I will subtly try to do the thing.
In the future, I will make sure that we do all – we will both endeavor to use both metric and imperial units.
I'm just going
to
stick with imperial. I feel like this became too big of a conversation. King Worm.
This – okay. My favorite thing about this episode – this is a lie. This is not my favorite thing about this episode. But the thing that got me really excited is this is the first episode where anybody says pep butt.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I feel like we've really crossed the boundary into
– Yeah,
into,
now yeah. Now we're getting into the occult stuff, right?
Yeah.
Once Peppermint Butler gets his own nickname, then we've got an actual ceremonial magician around doing ceremonial – and he already has. He's already done some stuff, but
– I mean, if you're doing that like sex magic stuff, yeah, take it in the pep butt.
Yeah, take it in the pep butt.
Real quick aside, here's a – very short shiny word related to that, shiny rock related to that. Do you know where gingering a horse comes from?
Yes,
I think you already figured it out.
I
yeah,
do.
Yeah. It's shoving ginger up their butt. So they look like they're more sprightly than they actually are.
God, why do I know that, though? Why did you say that? And I was like, oh, yeah, gingering a horse.
Well,
I know
what
that
is. You said pep butt, pep right, in
but,
butt. I mean,
but
it's,
why would I know that?
I mean, why would
I've
I know that?
I've never been a horse trader.
I mean, I knew this guy up in Seattle, Mr. Hands. I hung out with him a little bit. But other than that, yeah, very little horse interaction. I'm glad that you don't know what I just talked about.
Oh, God. So, yeah, King Worm. Like, this episode is an amazing one. It is packed full of references to past Adventure Time stuff and future Adventure Time stuff.
Yes.
It has this weird journey through a dream realm, including hints that including characters that may or may not be sharing the dream at the same time. It's kind of
that's the interesting
unclear.
Question. Yeah.
And it has the vault gets opened. So like there's this sort of ongoing joke where when Finn experiences things that are like too horrifying for him to see.
Yes.
He'll be like, oh, well, that's going in the vault.
And apparently his vault is his navel, which is...
Which we know because that was revealed in season 1, episode 16.
That's fine. I just mean from a disgusting dream perspective, I think him vomiting up clowns would be much worse.
Oh, really? Oh, God. For me, having things come out of my navel is terrifying.
Oh, God.
Gross.
I just imagine a shark in your mouth. That sounds awful.
I would chew it.
I mean, not if you're afraid of it. No, not if you're afraid of it. I can bite with my belly. Look at this thing. I got powers down
here. You don't have any teeth in there.
I had a little, you know. I got dentata.
I think for some people, they have like belly button things, issues.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, here's what I would actually like to hear from the audience. If they were going to have a nightmare scenario and I don't know, a shark or a demon was going to crawl out of their body in a nightmare, would it be more terrifying for it to happen out of your mouth or out of your belly button?
Yeah.
Like, let's really give our audience trauma if we're going to be going into this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we just have to add the butthole or vagina.
But depending. We don't want to know about those things. We want to know mouth or belly button.
But I do. No, because I only brought up mouth because I wanted to be clean. Because my first thought literally was a clown coming out of your butthole sounds fucking awful. Because it's also
it sounds worse for the clown.
No, but think honestly. about and a shark because it's got access to your hangy bits and it's coming out teeth first. That sounds awful.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be worse for the shark.
Hmm. I had a lamprey stuck in my ass once and it was very unpleasant.
That sounds like it was probably worse for the lamprey.
Eric, for the love of God, start talking about the episode again.
Okay, so
you're grunking up my dreamscape with your subconscious fears.
So this episode is all about King Worm attacking Finn and Jake through their dreams. So this is King Worm's second appearance. Like, his first appearance was at the end of Evicted, which is a season one episode, which is a great classic episode. It's the one where Marceline is introduced.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where we saw him before.
Yeah, yeah. He was right at the end. At the end of the episode wasn't really...
And it was like a non sequitur, right? Like,
it was a total non sequitur. Yeah, they come to their... Finn and Jake come back to the treehouse. There are the little green worms everywhere, and they walk in, and all the little green worms, you know, do the wah, 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 wah thing.
Yeah.
And then King Worm comes down from upstairs and, like, shoots them with this ray and is like, hug me, friends, and they go and hug him, and then the episode ends. Like, it's a total non sequitur.
Yeah.
Well, in this episode, King Worm is a more serious threat, and he's not necessarily trying to take over the treehouse. It seems like he's trying to feed off of them.
Yeah, he's feeding off his their vital energy.
Their vital energy, yeah, yeah. Which Finn says, my life energy, I use that.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is actually kind of an occult thing, or at least like,
yeah, for sure.
Like humbug occult stuff from the 1800s, like a Blavatsky shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there's like
I just use humbug unironically. I'm sorry to talk over you there.
Oh, no, it's cool.
But that was weird even for me. Please continue.
I don't think it was weird, actually, because you then referenced Blavatsky and you were talking about the 1800s, and humbug is a 19th century term.
No, totally, I think, but it's weird that I just used it.
You just did it right.
Yeah, okay. That's sorry.
No, it's cool. Inner Alex was just very correct.
Yeah, yeah. Just somewhere deep down, I'm not a fucking moron. Every now and again, that guy comes out. He comes out of my navel and says, like, humbug, humbug.
So there's a lot about this episode. You know, there's the life energy thing. There's the exploring the dream world and the dream world having kind of its own sort of rules that is that to me is sort of like very occultish.
Yeah.
One thing that this episode gets right that happens frequently in well-written dream sequences is kind of like this feeling of non-reality.
Yeah.
You know, which is really hard to do with Adventure Time because in Adventure Time, everything feels unreal. Well,
the one that really hit me is I have, you know, coming from somebody with anxiety, I get a lot of kind of anxiety dreams. I think most neurotypicals would call them nightmares, but they're not really nightmares. But like Jake trying to wrap a present, but like he can't really do it. Like his hands aren't working right. And even though it's wrapped and like it doesn't really work. And so he's like, you have to just push the tape down. You see him like frustrated by it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so like, oh, that's dream right there.
The thing that got me about that was when Jake asks Lady Rainicorn, who's the dream? Who's the present for? And Lady Rainicorn just turns to him and says, who's the present for? And Jake suddenly like, like that felt, that felt dream anxiety to me, that sort of like, oh shit. So I mean, there's a lot of those sorts of moments that where like the scenery shifts or what they're doing shifts and changes in a way where I just love that kind of uncertainty. I mean, I'm a vivid dreamer. I'm not really sure how vividly other people dream.
My dreams are kind of like the Greek concept of Hades, where it's like a flat, boring plane. Everything is either grayscale or sepia, and we just kind of trudge eternally. No, it's mostly about blowjobs or anxiety. That's
blowjobs and anxiety.
wait, just because we're at the weird dream images.
Uh-huh.
We can't go past the Gunther Voltron, I'll call it.
We can't. I don't want to go past that.
That is amazing.
So there are three things about that I want to get into. So first is very early on in the dream, Peppermint Butler appears and warns Finn that he's being attacked by King Worm in his dreams and helps him out. And it looks like Peppermint Butler is struggling to stay there, struggling to be in the dream, which is really, really interesting. And then very shortly after that, after Finn and Jake sort of team up and start going about things, Ice King comes running up, calls them Fiona and Cake.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And says that he needs that they've gotten loose again, and then the Gunther Voltrons show up. Right? Like Ice King tells Finn and Jake something that they do not know, right? So Fiona and Cake are completely unknown to Finn and Jake at this time.
We haven't watched any of the videos or anything yet?
No, none of that's happened yet. So
the problem with having watched the show like 7 times before we did the show is there's a little bit, especially now that we're getting into the good episodes, there's like this weird foreshortening happening. We're just like,
So the question that I have is, Peppermint Butler obviously knew that King Worm is on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't he show up there to help?
Oh, why didn't he go to sleep and fight with them, you mean?
Or why didn't he physically go to the treehouse or send physical help to the treehouse?
Maybe it's one of those things that if you get woken up in the real world while you're dreaming, your consciousness stays. Like horror movie things.
Yeah, or there's no way to wake them safely or something. You can't kill that kind of thing. You can't kill King Worm except through the dream realm.
Yeah, like maybe. If you walk in the house. Or it's like Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm going to say like 4, and you need a power glove.
That's tough because there aren't very many Nintendos around.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Beemo doesn't have a power glove attachment. No. I mean, he probably could like figure one out, but
he doesn't need one apparently. He just plays with himself.
Yeah.
So then the other question is Ice King. If Ice King is there.
I would say that Ice King is perennially, he is consistently on the dream plane even when awake. You know, because he sees like
the wizard eyes. Yeah,
wizard eyes and stuff. I feel like he's always like he's got like 30% of his brain is in some kind of astral state at any given time. So like that's fine. Like him being there.
Yeah. My other theory. I do have a theory, you know, because there've been plenty of episodes where Ice King is like hiding out in the treehouse.
Yeah.
So what if Ice King was actually hiding out in the treehouse and he also got caught in the King Worm's
trap? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That'd be fun if Marceline was there too. And it's all like the people that are hiding. The other part in like this kind of sequence of dream imagery, and I'm a big don't like Lumpy Space Princess, but Lumpy Space Princess Rain
is
like a beautiful, disturbing thing.
So one thing that is really interesting in the imagery of this episode is Finn's hat ears are too long.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah,
but only when he's in the dream world. So there's the fake wake up.
Yeah,
right, where they wake up, and Finn's hat ears are still too long, and he goes through the whole thing where he sees strange stuff. Where then that sequence feels a little bit more like Inception to me.
My dreams are a little bit more like that, where. Yeah. It'll be totally normal, but then you like look at a mirror and it's all like.
Yeah.
My thing is, I tend to. Because I'm such a verbal person, I try to read in my dreams a lot.
Me too.
And frequently it doesn't – like you're not supposed to be able to read in dreams.
No, I can read in dreams.
I definitely have.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, probably more frequently than not. But when the not happens is like – oh, that's usually where my lucid dreams happen. It's just like me being
here.
Frustrated by not being able to read. It's like – it's mostly when I'm trying to type on my phone into my dream. We're just like, why am I not? Oh, because I'm dreaming. Yeah,
that's happened to me before. The oh god, I'm dreaming. A lot of that happens when I try to read. But I've definitely successfully read in dreams.
Yeah, 100%. I remember the text messages I was sending in a dream. I was reading them.
I've read passages from books in dreams. I've definitely read stuff.
Maybe
in
we
dreams.
Got like just. I mean, I know I have sleep apnea. Maybe you do too, and we're not actually fully dreaming. We're like half awake. We're like
well, then. What would you be reading?
Just your imaginatory.
But doesn't dream only happen? Dreams only happen when you're in REM.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like I made a joke on a comedic show.
So there's some amazing imagery that Finn faces in this dream, and I just kind of want to like go through some of it. So first of all, Shoko, aka the Ghost Lady, who is not Ghost Princess, but the Ghost Lady, shows up. We learn much later on that the Ghost Lady, who first appeared in the episode called The Creeps, which was sort of like the haunted house episode remember yeah. where they she is actually a previous one of Finn's previous lives.
Yes.
So Shoko shows up. The Lich shows up. The Fear Feaster, who's the creature that lives in Finn's guts that keeps
Yeah, when he tries to go near the ocean pops out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps the vault full of fears. He's yeah. That's the creature that unlocks the chest. We see Farmworld Finn.
Yeah, Farm Finn is the one that I had marked down.
And Farmworld Finn doesn't show up until season 5.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised to see it. I was like, oh yeah. Shit, this is like, because even Shoko, where I know Shoko's been there before, but like it being there or her being there near Farmworld Finn, you're just like, ooh, I said all those words wrong. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Is really interesting. They're like, ooh, this is like a lot of backstory that's not actually established yet.
Yeah, and I think that it's a cool thing because I remember in The Creeps they didn't resolve the fact that there was actually a ghost in the haunted house.
Yeah,
right. Because there's sort of the sort of thing where like Finn was asking additional questions, and people were like, no, we didn't do any of that. And Finn was like, oh, ha 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 ha, I didn't see anything, you know. So it was another one of those things where it was an unresolved question, and it's great that they're kind of like bringing it back.
Yeah, it's nice.
So all of those things. So like the Lich does end up being significant again in this season. So it's great that there was that sort of foreshadowing. There was this sort of stuff that called back to like, I mean, I just love that it draws on like Finn's humanity. You know, the Princess Bubblegum dream sequences, you know, especially at the beginning where...
Oh, yeah, the PB stuff. Yeah, we should have talked yeah, about that. Was yeah. really... And then it goes to Flame Princess.
Yeah.
With weird eyeball teeth.
Oh, man, and she turns scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally, like, I understand all of that, Finn. That totally makes sense. If I had a crush on Princess Bubblegum and then I ended up dating a terrifying flame elemental who could destroy the world if I kissed her too much...
Yeah, if.
Yeah, it was just amazing. And then the, you know, Princess of Bubblegum having tea with the Lich.
Yes. Which, I mean, honestly, they're both like kind of eternal monsters.
Yeah.
They probably would get along and just have some tea. Yeah. I bet you, the Lich likes a really dainty tea.
Oh, yeah.
Like yeah. something really light. You know, like white green tea, you know.
Yeah.
Like
the, or... I think he revels just in the fact that the tea leaves are dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any more points on this episode other than it's great and rocks.
I have a couple more.
Please.
All right. So first of all, when Pep Butt is sort of struggling to talk to Finn at the beginning, when he turns his back to the camera, Phil appears.
Oh, is there a Phil face? I didn't
yeah,
see that.
Yeah, it's huge on Peppermint Butler's back. And it says Satori. And
then oh, vanishes. That's right. I didn't you know, I saw the Satori. I didn't pick up that's a Phil face.
Yeah, that was a Phil face. Yeah. Which is interesting. That's an interesting, like, esoteric, you know, Buddhist reference.
Yeah.
And then kind of this whole episode, it's very much a lucid dreaming sort of thing.
Yeah.
And lucid dreaming is a very common occult practice. It's
yeah. It's there's rarely a newbie occultist that won't bore you to death when they find out about Jung's Red Book.
Oh God!
Like just oh my God! Just yeah, no man. It's or, I was fucking 18 when I
read. Or newbie occultist to figure out how to lucid dream for the first time. Yeah. But I love the way that they did the episode. The writing was really good. The foreshadowing was really incredible. Some of the foreshadowing is like seasons ahead. Like this is really, I think. We're season 4. We've said this over and over and over again, but season 4 is really where the story gets bigger. And they did a really good job like incorporating stuff from previous seasons while still reaching into the future and being like there's cool stuff about to happen.
Yeah, it's nice. It feels like we're finally like kind of on the path to you know,
that weird occult shit that we're after?
No, I was trying to remember the name of the guy that asked the question. That like he was saying, you know, were you surprised by the lack of occult things? Yeah. One is Love is a Dog from Hell.
Yeah.
And the other is but Plague of Bears.
Plague of Bears!
By the way, audience at home, one of us has an entire sequence on memorization techniques. I'm going to let you guess which one.
Yeah. Okay. And another really, really important note about this episode, which is not really a surprise since he's a return guest. King Worm is played by Eric Estrada.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Okay. Yeah. From Chips.
Yep, he's Punch.
Wait, what did the thing say that isn't Chips? Is Chips and ice cream?
What?
In that episode where they go, Chips, ice cream. that creepy, it's like a creepy episode of the show. It's,
oh,
I think
God.
It's, I think it's Ricky Lindholm and I think it's the Garfunkel and Oates girls. It's Chips and whatever, and BMO is obsessed with them.
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, whatever. Sorry, remember. That didn't go to me. Do you have any more notes on this episode, Eric?
No, nothing except that I really loved this episode. Our recording is going long.
Yeah, it's a terrific one. I wanted very quickly, I don't do a lot of cross promo on the show, but we did on John and Alex Hate Stuff. You can find it on any podcatcher, johnandalexhatestuff.com. We did a movie called Under the Silver Lake. It stars Andrew Garfield, who's the Spider-Man after Tobey Maguire. There's a lot of esoteric shit in there, like layered esoteric shit. So much to the point that I was going to tell you off air to watch it.
I think I've seen it or it's on my list.
It's probably on your list. I think you would remember it like really well.
Uh-huh.
It's, I don't want to give too much away. It's just, I think people that are interested in esoteric stuff, not to say that it's about that, but there's layers in there that I think you're really going to like to unpack. It's like kind of mystery box stuff. It's a lot of cryptography in it, if you're a crypto nerd.
I love cryptography. Yeah, how did you know?
Because I've known you for like 8 years, probably longer. Anyway, under the Silver Lake.
Two things.
Yes.
First of all, who won the episode?
Fuck yeah. You know who won the episode? A silver marker that says who won that I literally looked at about 6 minutes ago. And I went, I got to remember to do the who won the episode. And then 100% forgot to do it.
That I would like to give that a runner's up vote. But
okay. Between the two episodes, I would say – wait, do you have an answer?
I'm thinking about it. I kind of want to – I mean, so Peppermint Butler talked too much.
Mm-hmm.
Could we say Lady Rainicorn since it wasn't actually Lady Rainicorn's voice?
Yeah, it's fine.
Wait, but you can't give in that easily. You have to have a counter thing. Like, you never agree with me that fast. What's wrong? Are you okay? Are you dying? Do you have cancer?
I agree with you very often.
But not on who won the episode.
Well, yeah, because I didn't agree. I meant that's a good choice. I'm going to come up with another option.
Okay.
I was agreeing that you chose a valid option.
All right, good.
Like, you didn't say –
I was terrified
no,
there.
No. Like,
I was like, holy shit, what's going on?
I would argue if you said Mork from Ork or something, you're like, Eric, that wasn't in the episode. No, that's totally fine.
Okay.
No, I think it's – personally – terrible. That obviously didn't win the episode.
Oh my God. Who won the episode?
And obviously it's the ladder that BMO broke with its head.
That's not a character.
Oh, it's not? Because it changed over the course of the episode.
If things change over the course... No, that's not what makes a character.
I believe it is. It's got a name. Ladder.
It doesn't have a name.
Probably too big of a character, but I'm going to say Bebe, the remote control.
I think Bebe works. Bebe doesn't have a speaking part.
Yeah.
Bebe is only there for two very brief scenes. I think that they're both pretty solid. I wonder if we can find a third option that might be a good... Oh. I have a good option.
No, please.
The Fear Feaster.
You know, it was funny. When you said I have a good option, that's exactly what popped in my head.
Because he's there super briefly. All he does is unlock a chest. He has no speaking part. And he has a significance that is only important in like two episodes of the entire series.
I'm changing my answer.
Okay.
And I'm not going to agree with you, although that's a great option.
Okay.
No, the obvious answer, it's Gunthtron. It's the Voltron Gunther. I wouldn't even be talked out of it. That is the answer. That won
the
episode.
You know what? I'm agreeing with that one.
Fuck yeah.
Because you know what? When I saw that one, I was like, that's – first of all, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Second of all, it made me think of Org Malorg, which we're going to later on. And it was completely insignificant to any point in the episode. I think that is a perfect answer for the who won the episode question. I think Gunther Voltron.
Yes. AKA Alex wins. Okay, what was your other thing?
Finally – Blue Sky finally opened up and you don't need an invite to join Blue Sky anymore. We're on Blue Sky. I'm trying to post there, but it is just so hard to find our fans. It is so hard to find interesting people on Blue Sky. So it's easy to use. It's basically like peaceful Twitter. So come and join Blue Sky and find us. I am going to be posting some things about keytars on Blue Sky. I do have some really nerdy keytar things to share, but I'm not going to do it this episode because we've already talked for too long.
Yeah.
But find us on Blue Sky. We are WizBiz Podcast. No surprise there. We got WizBiz Podcast everywhere because we were the first geniuses to think of this name. So
except there actually was another WizBiz Pod. Just they didn't get a lot of her things. Because WizBiz, yeah. Remember when you searched for it? Like, yeah, it was something for like 6 years ago on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyhow, so come and find us. Join us on Blue Sky. Follow us on Twitch. I'll have a link to Alex's Twitch in the show notes as well, because he streams a little bit more than we do on our Blue Sky Twitch.
Yeah, I've been doing a
– on our WizBiz Twitch.
I'm streaming twice a week on Twitch, Saturdays and then either Thursday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go for Thursday, but I'm VerbalX there. So Verb Alex, A-L-E-X-X. Yeah.
Only one X?
No, I mean, Alex, the way that I spell it. Okay. I didn't think I just, like, if I said spell Eric, I wouldn't say Eric with a K. I think the audience knows.
You just spelled it. Okay.
Well, no, I did because you pointed it out. I said verbal X. Yeah.
I'm not going to spell Eric with two Ks. I don't care.
No, but spelling it with a K is some weird Nordic hateful right wing shit.
No, it is not.
It is. And where's it from? Nordic lands? Where do white people come from? Boom. One. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
The ending. Wasn't that Billy Bubble?